In our gospel reading today, Jesus uses the familiar sequence of three to tell his famous story. Here, it's the Levite, the priest, and the Samaritan who walk past the wounded man on the road instead of the Irishman, the Englishman, and the Scotsman walk into the bar. Here's another story that uses that threefold pattern to get us started this morning. There once was a Baptist, a Roman Catholic, and an Episcopalian standing at the pearly gates of heaven. Jesus was there to greet them and ask them this question: "Who do you say that I am?" The Baptist answered first, "The Bible says that you are." But before he could finish, Jesus interrupted him and said, "I asked you, who do you say that I am?" So the Roman Catholic stepped up and tried to answer the question. He said, "The church says that you are." Again, Jesus interrupted him and said, "I asked, who do you say that I am?" Finally, the Episcopalian was left. Jesus asked, "Who do you say that I am?" The Episcopalian cleared his throat and said, "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus took a step back. He was amazed. Mainline Protestant, the frozen chosen, and he had given the right answer. As Jesus was thinking about this, amazed, all of a sudden the Episcopalian chimed back in. "But you know, on the other hand," the lawyerly manner with which the Episcopalian answered that question in that story reminds me of our poor lawyer in our gospel reading today. This religious expert is trying to get the right answer, trying to understand Jesus' teachings, but tying himself up in knots in the process. So another story. This week, I was reminded of this type of interaction while at Camp Hope with our youth this week. One afternoon, we were driving home from our work site, all crammed in a rented pickup truck. To pass the time while in these vehicles, one of our youth had brought a book with questions numbered from 1 to 3,000. And so you'd give a number, say 37, you turn to the page, and I would ask a question like, "What is your favorite color and why?" And this was a really great way to pass the time. Until, somehow, at some point, I got asked the following question, number 450. "What is the greatest of the seven deadly sins?" I tried to answer immediately, hoping to sound authoritative. I said, "Historically, the greatest sin is pride. That's what Lucifer was guilty of, trying to be like God. That's what caused his fall from heaven and grace. Pride cometh before the fall, says the Bible." Now, Steve Sides was driving the pickup at this time, and he's a good former Catholic altar boy. He knows his catechism, and he backed me up. But one youth did not buy it. And she said, "Oh, come on. Tell us what you really think. Don't depend on something else. Tell us what you think." That knocked me back, and I wondered how I was going to get out of this one with my integrity intact, hoping that someone would ask another question from that book of 3,000 questions. Luckily, another youth did say, "Well, maybe he believes the Bible is true, and that's why he said it." That indeed provided enough cover to get out of the situation. We all moved on. I share that story and that threefold joke at the start because although the Good Samaritan story is certainly about our ethical demands, and it's certainly about what we as a church can do to help out the least of us around us, the passage also forces us to take a step back It asks us how we understand the gospel, how we recognize truth in our faith and in the world, what we rest upon as authoritative, and how we then make a decision for right action. This dynamic is most evident in the sequence with which Jesus asks his questions, or rather, which he answers the lawyer's questions. Jesus first relies on scripture, citations from the Torah, from Leviticus and Deuteronomy. This is scripture that is so familiar because Jews recited it every day, and that certainly the lawyer, like any good lawyer, knew the answer before he asked the question. The answer is, you shall love the Lord your God with all your strength, with all your mind, with all your soul, and your neighbor as yourself. Here, I think Jesus points to those words with a wink and a smile, as if to say, that's all you have to do. What Moses brought down from Sinai way back when, what God's people have been saying for centuries, it's that easy, and it's that hard. Jesus is recognizing the inherent difficulty of the law with the same intrigue that he would tell the young ruler to sell all of his possessions, in the same way that he said that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. That is, he's trying to say it's impossible. The lawyer asks, what must I do to inherit eternal life? The answer is, we simply can't do it by ourselves. He's trying to say that you're asking the wrong type of question, because inheritances are earned, not given. Rather, inheritances are not earned. They're not given. They're given by the grace of God. But the lawyer needs more and is not satisfied with a tried and true scriptural answer. Maybe like my inquisitor at Camp Hope, the lawyer wants more than dusty doctrine. Unlike me, Jesus is ready for this. He's capable of delivering a message that is just as profound, deeper even, fuller, and that fits the context. He gives, of course, the story of the Good Samaritan. We have to be cautious with that story, though, because it's become such an embedded part of our culture, both sacred and secular. It's hard to look at it with new eyes. Through the centuries, it's long been attempted by scholars to say who is who in the story. We are so quick to insert ourselves into it, say, who's the Levite, who's the priest, who's the Samaritan, who's the innkeeper, who's the donkey? In other words, like the lawyer, we think that the story is about us, about how we can somehow pass the test, how we can work harder, better, stronger, faster. The lawyer is asking the equivalent of, how many times must I go to CrossFit? How many noble causes do I need a reference on social media? How much virtue signaling must I do so I can make the cut? We think we have to pass the test, keep trying to convince ourselves that we would be the Samaritan rather than the Levite or the priest. The good news is that Jesus has already passed the test for us. Like the way that one scholar puts it. What is to be imitated in the Samaritan's action is not his moral uprightness. Well, that's a good thing. What's to be imitated is his spiritual insight into the truly bizarre working of the mystery of redemption. So in conclusion, we need our beloved three-legged stool, scripture, tradition, reason, to help us out along the way. But we'd be just as stymied as our lawyer if we don't think that God is the one who's providing our salvation, rather than us ceaselessly trying to earn it. Like the lawyer, we are often asking the wrong questions. We're trying to answer them in the wrong way. Through his teaching, Jesus is upending our expectations, shattering the barriers of what we are capable of, and rearranging all those roles that we have established. So the lawyer tried to ask a question about eternal life, and he got one, an answer about how to live in this world. The lawyer tried to ask who his neighbor is, and he got an answer about how he can be a neighbor. It's not about defining those who are out there, but changing who you are. And that, my friends, that's how God teaches. That's how Jesus teaches. That's how he reveals God's grace in the world. And that's how God acts in all of our lives. Amen.